Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And if we sound a little rough, it's because we are feeling a little rough this week. I said it, I posted the announcement at home, like, it's going to be late this week, and I said I was ill, which was true.
Mm-hmm.
I've been ill, and I didn't want people worried about your health.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't anything to do with that. I was genuinely ill over the weekend, very heat strokey, very low energy, slept for like 6 months or something over 2 days. It was a lot. And dealing with stomach issues on top of it. So it was no fun, but I should have mentioned that, yeah, you also felt like right shit too, so...
Yeah, just exhausted.
Some of this is unique to me. Some of this is shared between us.
Mm-hmm.
What? It's what you get for living together.
Mm-hmm.
Pass all the diseases around. But we do know for a fact it's not COVID.
Yeah.
Well, a reasonable fact. I popped negative on the test. I took it just to be safe. And I've been symptomatic for 3 days now.
Mm-hmm.
So, did all we could there. So, no COVID in the house, but a lot of illness. And that's why this one's a little bit late. But please do take a minute, because we make these announcements about when we're going to be late and whatnot. We make it all over our social media. We're at hauntweekly.com, hauntweekly on Twitter, hauntweekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly is the YouTube channel, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast from. And of course, you can always hope we have plans, tentative ones for this week. So get on all the social medias, follow us, because we hopefully, knock on wood, mm-hmm. we'll be doing a live program this weekend.
With a guest.
We're not making any announcements yet. We're not putting undue pressure on our good friend.
Mm-hmm.
But we're hoping to do a live show and be back in the studio for at least a week.
Yeah.
So if everything works out, it's going to be a very, very fun conversation. But anyways, every week we bring you a question of the week. And last week's question, I think, was one of my favorites. We got some great answers to this. It was, what is your favorite haunter's haunt? A place for haunters to study haunting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do you go to get an education in haunting? Sam Farrell said the Haunted Farm in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Huge production with trail, house, and hayride elements. Yet still manages to have a homemade feel. And also, he says, excellent use of prop-based layout. Something I've been a huge, huge advocate of
mm-hmm.
for years and years and years. And, yeah, I think if I ever make it to North Carolina on a haunt trip, I think I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Victor Ruelas says Hollow Shadows in Midsummer Scream.
Which is, A, not wrong at all. It's absolutely 110%.
It's a little cheating.
But it's cheating like fuck.
Because it's everything. Everybody gets to...
Which, yeah, that is a great way to study haunting. He's not wrong.
No.
But it's still cheating. Yeah, man. And then...
We will get there one day.
Yes, we will. Now that the pandemic seems to be leveling up, so... No, we're not going to go into that yet.
Things are ticking up right now. I don't want to say that.
No jinxing. All right. And finally, Ryan Banfield said, The Haunted Rose in Whittier, South Carolina.
Jesus.
California. That's not even the right fucking letters, Jonathan. Good God. California. It was a home haunt that went pro last year, but never lost its integrity and its flavor. So that sounds interesting. That brings us to this week's question of the week, which we're going to play off of this week's subject, and we're eager to hear your thoughts on it. What would you change about the haunt industry if you could wave a magic wand and change any one thing?
Mm-hmm.
Let us know, hauntweekly.com, hauntweekly on Twitter, hauntweekly on Facebook, and youtube.com/hauntweekly. Leave comments. Let us know. We read everything, and we repeat many.
Yes.
How's that?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah... Before we get into the topic, we mentioned that you and I have been sick over the weekend.
Yeah.
That's only been about a third of the drama, though.
Right.
Because you had your first graduation in your new job, where you're managing the graduation.
Where I'm the event planner for graduation events.
And I had the craziest week I've ever had in my day job, without exception. I don't think anything competes.
No.
I mean, I've had weeks where I've made ungodly sums of money. Not crazier.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I've had weeks where, you know, I've been hated and had my sights slashed, dotted, and dug to death and so forth. Not crazier. This was nuts because I was all over national news because I was the person the author Jimmy Bello decided to plagiarize from. So in a plagiarism and atonement essay where she was explaining her plagiarism in her first book, she plagiarized from a site called Plagiarism Today.
Yeah.
And if you're confused, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I'm still having trouble parsing it. I'm the fucking one that she copied from.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. We both had really long, stressful weeks, and I don't think that helped us in staying healthy and not getting sick.
Mm-mm.
So I think it's only natural we felt like crap this weekend, which also unfortunately means we didn't really get a weekend.
We didn't get a weekend, and the party, the surprise party we planned for Ellie, although a success,
yes,
was, it could have been a little bit better.
Yeah. But nothing we did have done, to be clear.
No,
even though we were both tired and sick, we'd put so much in motion before we couldn't really stop.
Yeah.
We had a great, it was a great time, great people there. But yeah, there were some hiccups with it. And like I said, nothing planning related, nothing related to anything we did. But still frustrating to not have.
Well, and you weren't able to be there the whole time because you had already started feeling sick.
Yeah, that was when I was at peak sick, actually. And I think running around, putting up those decorations in the hot-ass patio is what pushed me just right over the edge from feeling a little funky to feeling like death.
Yeah.
And then it just when you go off that cliff, you might as well lay down.
Exactly.
All right. So anyways, this week's topic is one we've talked... I think everything in here we've talked about at one point or another on the show.
Yeah, we've at least touched on it.
But we may not have done a full episode, but it's at least like it's been touched on. But this topic this week for us is 11 things we change about haunting. Why 11? Because we like to go one more. Yes, now I'm plagiarizing the nostalgia critic. But no, in all seriousness, we thought of 11 things. Is the real...
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
We
thought of 10 and then one more was suggested.
One more came up and I didn't feel like removing anything else because it was a really good idea to conclude that.
Yeah.
All right, the first item up for bid. Crystal, I think you should take the first one.
Probably.
Yeah, I think you should lead that one. I'll do the evens this time.
The Quiet Sexism. Because you can listen to our Women in Haunting series. Women aren't put forward enough in the haunting industry. There aren't enough that are... there aren't enough women in the top roles at haunts. And, you know, it's just... It sucks.
Yeah.
It basically sucks.
You know, as when we go to conferences or meetings or whatever, one of the things that I've always found personally frustrating is no matter how many times I explain we're 50-50 partners in every way in the haunt we build, we're both there for every step and both equally valuable. I mean, we bring our own expertises and there are things that we do individually, but we really are 50-50 on that split.
Yeah.
And it would not work if we were not.
Mm-hmm.
We would never get done. We need that kind of even split. People don't believe it a lot of the time.
Yeah, or they think that I'm going to be more scared going into a haunted house than you.
Yeah.
Like, that's the most frustrating one.
Hold on to your girl. She might shriek.
I know. It's like, guys, come on. You could do better than this.
Yeah.
And I use power tools. I've used them longer than he has.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I did not really learn how to use power tools until I met her, yeah.
Yeah,
I've gotten
you.
Significantly better.
You have. There are no holes in recent walls.
There's not been holes in any walls in fucking 14 years, okay?
Yeah, I know, but still, you know. There was the one.
And also, that wasn't an issue with power tools. We were trying to nail it, fucker.
I know.
Which was stupid. The problem is we were dumbasses when trying to build a panel. I mean, yeah.
It was our second year.
Yeah, it was our second year, and we were only building one panel. And the problem was we were trying to nail it with hammer and nail, the skin onto it. And yes, you can do that if you're really good with hammer and nail.
Yeah.
I am not.
Yes. As we learned.
But
anyway...
With a nail gun, it's way quicker, though.
Yes, which we did not and do not have.
We do not have a nail gun, but we decided it was better to hold everything with screws so it can be undone.
Exactly. Screws and washers.
Screws and washers, babe. You can undo everything.
Yep.
It's much better. That was one of the lessons I learned. But yeah, so don't use nails. But yeah, we're 50-50, and I genuinely believe that. This is, I think, honestly, of all the personal projects I've taken on with other people, this is the most even.
Yeah.
And I say that as the kid that always did 90% of the work in group projects in schools.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying the competition's super stiff.
Right. And it's also frustrating when I'm talking to haunters and They're talking about all of the victims in their haunt being
women, yeah.
Women in those roles. Like, it never occurs to them that a guy could be playing a victim role, or that a big guy could be playing a vulnerable role.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't occur.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And, you know, there are always exceptions. There are plenty of women who, of course, are being put forth right and are doing a great job. And I don't want to detract from them.
No.
But this is more of a broad, on-the-ground issue that we still see to this day. And it's, like I said, really frustrating when we're at a conference or when we're going to a haunt, and everyone looks at me like I'm the only adult in the room.
Yeah. Well, I do think you're more vocal. You're more social than I am, and that's part of it.
Well, I have the more fake outgoing personality. I'm not really.
Yeah.
But I really can pretend.
Yeah. Well,
pretty good.
The other thing is there's always at least one story that we hear of somewhere of a woman in costume who's at a conference or at a haunt that gets harassed.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just not cool. So.
Yeah, there's a lot here to unpack, and we talked a lot about it, and we're going to get bogged down if we go too much on it.
Yeah, I know.
Because there's so much to say on this, and we've said a lot of it already. But it would be nice, and I think it would help encourage more women to get involved in the industry if there are opportunities were more even keeled and varied, because the thing about it is this: I feel pretty confident that about as many women love horror and spooky things as men.
Yeah,
I feel confident those numbers are about the same. And therefore, there should be about as many in haunting. But you go to most haunted houses; they're still very much boys' clubs. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason for that is I don't think the women that do give it a shot necessarily feel like they're being given a shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
And I want to put something in the show notes
that
I had worked on a little while ago. It's a spreadsheet of how to cast your characters based on the ability, not on the gender.
Yeah, that's a good idea. All right. Item number two, the toxic culture of self-sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Many haunts will do this thing where they say, we are a family. And okay, it's very, very cool to have a haunt family.
Yeah.
I think most really good haunts do have one. The problem is when that's taken to the next step and you use that familial connection to pressure people into working without pay, to working when they're sick and really shouldn't be there for their own health, or when life gets in the way somehow. I mean, we've heard stories of actors that were pressured to skip their father's funeral to volunteer at a haunted house.
Yeah. And
that's disgusting.
Yeah. That's called a toxic family at that point.
Yeah.
that is not a good thing to do.
We do not abide toxic families here. And it's something I've seen firsthand and secondhand, this idea that, you know, we're your first family now. You, during this time of year, you are ours, pretty much.
Yeah. And if you've got someone who's working with you and you're a smaller or a medium tier haunt, or maybe you're a big haunt and someone wants to work fewer days and wants to go to a smaller haunt, don't blackball them. Don't push them out of the industry just because they don't want to work with you anymore. I mean,
or they want to work less with you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, if you can't have them as an employee, at the very least, leave the door open in the future.
Yeah.
Because it's a real problem we have, because no one goes into haunting for the pay. Even the haunts that pay cannot pay enough to make this a career, especially when you consider it's only 6 weeks, it's only a few hours a night, so on and so forth. There's just no way this is a career for anyone that's just at haunt acting and just doing the seasonal work. Mm-hmm. They have to have this familial aspect. They have to enjoy it. They have to have that love, that brothership, that kinship, the familyness of it. They have to have that. But when you exploit that to have people do things that are harmful to them, that's when it goes too far. And it's so easy to do. I don't think a lot of haunts realize they're doing it.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a malicious thing most of the time, but it can hurt people very badly and drive them away, not just from your haunt, but from haunting, full stop.
Exactly. And I mean, I am so happy for the young haunters that they grew up in our haunt and have gone on to bigger and better haunts.
Yeah.
Like, I am so happy that we were able to mentor them in that way.
And one thing also is we also get haunters on the other side who mm-hmm. were to Pro Haunts but want to come back. And one of the reasons they come to us is because we're only three nights.
Yeah.
And therefore, there's none of this toxic bullshit of, oh, you've got to do 20 nights a season or you're trash type thing.
Yeah, they still want to be haunters, but they have 40-hour day jobs and families and shit and can't do the full time anymore.
Yeah, I can't blame them for that.
No.
Anyways, moving on. Next item.
All right. Three. More inclusion broadly.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Because we've got a lot of cis white male in this field. Don't know if anybody's looked around. But
look around at Trans World or HauntCon or
anywhere.
Any of the big conventions.
Just yeah.
Kind of cast your gaze around the room a little bit.
Yeah, so we need more people of color, more. I know you. LGBTQ plus rainbow people.
Yeah.
I'm a rainbow people, okay?
Yeah, whatever women, the rainbow. However you define the rainbow, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. However you define your own rainbow is up to you. I'm a rainbow people.
I define it as Skittles. I taste the rainbow. Okay, that's not, maybe not the same thing. But no, we do need to find this. And part of the problem here is, I understand like this might be a problem Haunts can fix by themselves.
Yeah.
Because there are still some bullshit cultural norms hanging out there.
Yeah.
That are beyond our industry. So that certain groups of people are not really supposed to be into horror or scary stuff. And they're not supposed to want to be haunt actors. There's a little bit of that that realistically we can only do so much about.
Well, and you can go back and listen to whenever we had Patrick O'Keefe on yeah. about building more inclusive communities yeah. and better communities. And there are, basically you have to be willing to reach out to the yeah. people you want in your haunt. And if you don't reach out, they're not going to know that they want you want them there.
Yeah. You've got to go where you know they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough, admittedly, and that can be really tough, especially in smaller towns where there may not be, you know, any kind of LGBTQ or rainbow meeting space, or they may yeah. not be, you know, a space for people of color to interact.
Yeah, like I would absolutely love rainbow flags on haunt sites. Like just little ones that say, hey, we're a safe space. We're not going to, you know, target you for coming here. Mm-hmm. I would love to see, you
that's
know,
a good idea. First, so we should do it on the Bernie Baxter site.
Yeah, we should.
The sure, first, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
We hadn't done it on, I mean, I haven't done anything with the fucking site. I need to do something.
I know,
with it.
Like 3 years.
This weekend, I'll do something on the site,
yeah,
I promise.
I mean, we do have a rainbow banner and
a Black Lives Matter sticker, magnet and other things.
Yeah, out during the haunt. And people have commented on how much they like our...
Yeah, having that out there, yeah.
Our stuff out there.
Yeah.
You know, because they know whenever they drive up, they see this rainbow flag that, you know, they're going to be safe. So, yeah, but I would love that. I would love to see the trope wedding scene done with a groom in the coffin instead mm-hmm. of, you know, because that's not the scare, you know.
Or even bride. Or even an interracial wedding might be
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah,
even just heterosexual wedding.
Any
mix it up, guys. Come on.
Anything. I mean, just any little thing.
And here's the thing. This helps two ways. A, diversity, I believe, personally, is always a good thing.
Yes.
Second, it makes your haunt a lot more visually and theatrically interesting to have a variety of people represented inside of it.
Yeah, like actual society.
Yeah, it makes it so much more interesting than just a bunch of random white dudes for the most part.
Yeah, and get rid of racist, homophobic, and transphobic scares. Get rid of them. And also put, you know, if you give out tampons and sanitary napkins to your in the women's dressing room, put some in the boys too.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. And it's a good, and no, oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, I'm just in favor of unisex bathrooms, full stop, especially if they're single stall.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason to have a men's or a women's sign.
There's not, but sometimes there are dressing rooms that are
signed. Yeah, and I get that. I do privacy. Get that part. And I understand that. And I also understand, like, larger bathrooms, why they're gendered. But still, that doesn't mean that, you know,
mm-hmm.
someone with a uterus is not in the men's room.
Exactly.
Anyways, moving on. Item number 4. More/better year-round haunting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are seeing more haunts doing year-round gigs. For example, we've seen lots of Friday the 13th stuff this past weekend. Mm-hmm. Halfway to Halloween celebrations were before that.
Yay.
We had Easter celebrations before that. We'll have Christmas celebrations in December. Mm-hmm. So that's all good. But those are still narrow exceptions, and they work because of the novelty.
Right.
They're not the norm.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's so weird and funky to go to a haunted house in December. Like, when that shooting happened in April?
Last month.
Last month.
Sorry.
One of the first comments I kept hearing on outside haunters groups, it wasn't so much in haunt groups, but outside haunter groups was, what was a haunt doing open in April? It's a year-round haunt, you dumb fuck.
Well, and the way to, you know, change people's minds on a national scale is to have more year-round ones that have more than one actor. They aren't all built the same way to run the same way.
Yeah, we need, as an industry, if we're going to really grow, we need to detach ourselves from the Halloween season. Now, I'm not saying it won't be our peak season. I'm saying it won't be the best of times.
Yeah, and maybe there's something that we, you know, maybe that's a branding thing that we need to change on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
And call it a horror experience.
Like, I'm still confused. Yeah, that's a good point there. Maybe it's something where we need to do a branding switch. Like when Nintendo debuted in the United States, it wasn't the Nintendo video game console. NES stands for Nintendo Entertainment Center System. And the reason for it was because Atari fucked people's images of a video game console so hard that Nintendo's like, well, we can't call it fucking that in the United States. Entertainment system! We'll sell a little robot with it! It'll be great!
Exactly. But I think if we give them
a,
you know,
a little rebranding might not be a bad move. That's actually pretty clever there. That's really good.
I sometimes have good thoughts.
Yeah. Every once in a while, every once in a while I have some too. It's just not right now because we're both stupid and tired as fuck. Yeah. So I'm a little surprised.
Some of the stuff coming out of my mouth.
I'm a little surprised either of other... I was about to say that either of us are forming straight sentences, but apparently I'm not.
I never form straight sentences. It's okay.
But I'm Tish. Anyways, but yeah, and I really do think this would be a great thing to get some more detachment from here. And maybe you're right. Maybe it would require some kind of rebranding. That's not a bad point. Moving on.
Okay.
Number five.
More originality. Less IP theft. Oh, I forgot who started this.
You're doing the odds.
Yeah.
You're the oddball.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, lots of haunts, including really, really big ones that we really, really like, just take IP from other people.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's full scenes, sometimes it's all the characters. It's just, we need creativity.
Like, okay, a little cheeky homage can be kind of fun.
Yeah.
I agree with that once in a while, but when you have more than a dozen Pennywises in one section of your haunt...
Yeah.
And that was a major haunt that did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just it. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, we've got Jason. We've got Freddy. We got Pinhead. We got Pennywise. We got all the greats. We got the Xenomorphs. We got, you know, we got all the guys. All of them. We got Candyman. We got everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. You don't own those characters. You could, at least theoretically, be sued for using them, especially if you use them in your marketing in any way. And the only reason I think haunts haven't been sued is because we are small potatoes compared to other uses of it. I mean, we really are. And you look at the size of our industry, and when you realize that one summer blockbuster generates more revenue than the entire haunted attraction industry in full in a year, and that's, last I checked, was completely true. It's nuts. And... the movie studios don't really have time to waste on some, even a fairly large haunt to them is going to seem like a pissant operation.
Yeah, but I do know that some haunts do get licenses for the characters, just like the escape room that we reported on recently.
Yeah, there are those that can do it and do it well and do it right.
Yeah, but they're few and far between. They're, you know.
Very few and very far between.
Yeah, it seems like you're just going and buying the props and animatronics. And sticking them in. And they don't make any sense in the rest of the haunt. And they're just there.
No, and it's really frustrating because... this is supposed to be a creative industry.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use a haunt to tell your own narrative, to tell your own story, to have your own conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what haunts are doing a lot of the time. They're using these other characters. Now, I hear frequently when I mention this, oh, but we have to. That's what the customers expect. Mm-hmm. Who do you think created that expectation? Where do you think that expectation came from? Thin fucking air? It came because you started doing it, and now they expect it. Mm-hmm. But and even if they do expect it, even if they genuinely expect it, there's no fault of your own. Mm-hmm. Aren't we in the industry of subverting expectations?
Yeah.
Isn't that really what haunted attractions, what haunting is all about? It's setting someone's expectation up. Oh, there's nothing in this hallway. And then defying it. Bam! Drop panel! You jumped. Right?
Yeah.
You set up an expectation and you kick it out from underneath them. Mm-hmm. That's what haunting is in a nutshell. And so, yeah, okay, if your customers expect it, I'm sorry. I cannot fathom that many haunted attraction customers. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong and there's data here somewhere I don't have my at my fingertips. But I cannot imagine that many customers going, great haunt, lots of scares, but no Pennywise, 2 stars.
No.
I just don't think that's a thing.
No.
I mean, you're allowed to play with tropes. You're allowed to play, you know, with some of the same ideas and notions. And you're even allowed, like, I think it's even fine to do a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge, tap on the glass of the fourth wall a few times.
Yeah.
But when you're just recreating scenes from It, or, you know, you're having all your actors look like Jason, like I believe Winter Pickle said he tried once and got tutted on, got a no-no letter.
I think it was Freddy.
I think it was Freddy. I think you're right, it was Freddy. I can't remember. It was one or the other. But anyways, and he got a cease and desist, which, thank God, because he got to adhere to it, because it could have been so much worse for him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you created these expectations. Tell your own story. Create your own characters. Mm-hmm. And even if the characters are not under copyright, like Frankenstein's monster, for example, mm-hmm. I mean, you can at least do something unique with that. Don't just have your retelling of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein or, God help you, the Universal ones.
Yeah. Yeah, don't use...
Don't do that. Those are still
don't
copyright.
Use that style.
But no, you can play with it. You can subvert their expectations because now you have a story everyone knows, even if they've never read it. They know the story. They've heard the Cliff Notes version at least, right?
Yeah.
You can subvert those expectations. So yeah, can we just please stop getting away from the IP theft? Start getting away from that?
I would love to see, you know, Frankenstein's monster in a haunt. That, you know, Dr. Frankenstein is there and acts like he does in the book.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to have violence and abuse in haunts,
yeah,
then make the monster, you know,
yeah, almost a victim. No, not almost,
yeah,
a victim.
Yeah, a victim and relatable.
A sympathetic character.
A sympathetic
because, like, in the book, and admittedly it's been a while since I've read
words.
It. It's been a while since I've read it, but Frankenstein was deeply intellectual. He was a very, very smart person.
Yeah.
But also deeply cruel.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are the two identifying markers of his personality. I mean, Frankenstein is the monster.
Yeah.
It's just Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah, exactly. Frankenstein's monster was actually really sweet to begin with.
At least he wanted to be.
Yeah.
He came out with the best intentions, unlike, you know, Mr. Chop Shop dude here.
Mr. I Am God, I'm going to create life. Ha ha.
Oh, man. The second worst lightning port in history. Anyways, moving on to 6. Focus on hearing safety for customers and actors. I put this one in for me.
Yeah.
But I think it's very important because I have hearing loss issues. Due to IV station tube disorder, to get a long story short, I don't have any functioning eardrums. So my hearing is automatically about 10 decibels worse than everyone's else. And I have one ear that's pretty much nerfed beyond belief and one that's pretty average, all in all. It does all right for itself. But still, I have hearing issues. And so I want to protect very dearly what I have left because I'm already inching my way closer toward hearing aids. And I'm fine with that. I grew up in a household with a hearing impaired brother. So I know that it's not the end of the world, but it's also something that I'd like to avoid if at all possible, if nothing else, in the cost and convenience of it.
Yeah.
I also know how inconvenient that shit can be in your day-to-day life. But so what you do is you go into haunts, and a lot of times, especially true at smaller ones, they'll use those loud sparkers or poppers, as they call them, mm-hmm. and they'll put it right next to someone's ear. And that is a huge no-no. It's such a big no-no, it's written on the fucking item itself.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like the option of having earplugs, just the little foam ones even, available at when you buy the ticket, if there's a sign that says loud noises are involved. Like, really loud. Not like screaming, yelling loud, but like really can damage your hearing loud.
Yeah. And as bad as that is for me, to have that near mine, because it'll actively, physically hurt.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I don't have an eardrum. So there's no barrier between the outside air and those tiny little bones inside my ear and me. Mm-hmm. It is deeply painful. It feels like someone punched me in the side of the head mm-hmm. or poked me with a really tiny needle down my ear hole and just, you know, made me bleed for a second. So, yeah, it's frightening to have that happen. But it's even worse for actors who are exposed to these noises recurringly.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in that room, say, 4 to 5 hours while you're acting, mm-hmm. If your noise is above a certain level, you really, really need ear protection in that time. And a lot of haunts are not giving their actors that. And it's kind of strange because we've seen some pretty impressive improvements in other areas of physical safety in haunts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, it's a shame that it took things like the Six Flags fire for it to happen. But as far as like physical safety, haunts overall do pretty well. I've only been in a couple of haunts I consider actively dangerous
mm-hmm.
from a physical standpoint.
Right.
But I've been in dozens of haunts that were dangerous to my hearing.
Yeah.
And it's much more common to me, in my experience.
Yeah. And if you see actors that aren't wearing hearing protection that you provided, then move them to a different spot. Because a lot of younger actors will think they're invincible.
Yeah.
Or say, well, this, it's not affecting my hearing now. What do I care in 20 years? You're going to care.
Yeah.
You're going to fucking care.
When you're a man who's just about to turn 42 and you have eustachian tube disorder and, you know, you don't have functional eardrums. Yeah. You're going to care a lot more.
Yeah.
Right now I can still carry on conversations. I can function normally.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed my computer and TV are up a little bit louder than other people would like.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Sorry.
It's okay.
But it's also just...
We understand.
Yeah.
But so, if you come up to us in a crowded situation like a conference, you may not hear someone.
I may need you to repeat things. Or I may also have my AirPods in. And if I do, please understand, it's not because I'm trying to drown you out with music yet. If you keep talking to me, that may, when I don't want to talk to you anymore, I may do that. But initially, no.
Yeah.
But what I do is I have in transparency mode, plus I can use the iPhone to crank up the volume so it beams more sound in my ear, and it focuses on what I'm trying to hear better.
Yeah.
So it's a really cool system, and I use it in crowded situations. So if you see me with AirPods in, basically don't think I'm trying to ignore you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do the opposite.
Exactly. That's
what I'm trying to get at. Anyways, so yeah, focus on hearing safety, pretty please. Next item.
All right. Creating new and unique experiences.
Yeah. We're
always talking about haunts that are looking for new ways to sell experiences and new things to do, but there's a lot of follow the leader.
Yeah.
You know.
It's really
escape
frustrating.
Escape rooms.
Yeah, one haunt found success with escape rooms. Don't know which one was the first.
No.
And next thing you know, every fucking haunt in the country has escape rooms, even to the point of oversaturation in many markets.
Yeah. Axe throwing, carnival games.
Yeah. Yeah, axe throwing is the current escape room thing, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't see how that's going to be as long-term as escape rooms.
Yeah,
there's a lot of variables with escape rooms.
I think what you should do, if you're going to get into axe throwing, you shouldn't limit it to axe throwing. It should be axe throwing, archery.
Mm-hmm.
Because you throw archery.
Because if you're already setting up a space,
you've already got the targets, you already got that.
Got sharp things flying through the air.
And then something I have not seen in a haunt, but dear God, I would have so much fun with, a rage room.
Yeah. I would love a rage room. And then all of the broken stuff just becomes decoration for your haunt.
As boom! Long as weathered!
Exactly.
Modern problems require modern solutions. No, but I've always wanted to go to a rage room. I've never seen one. I've seen 8 billion escape rooms, big and small, in full hour, 30 minute, and 3 minute. I've seen every variation of escape room I can think of. I've seen tons of axe throwing places. I've been on dozens and dozens of carnival boardwalk type things with the games. Admittedly, I love the shit out of those.
Oh, yeah.
That is probably one of my favorite things in the world, is a good carny boardwalk. I'm a sucker for that. That and late night diners. Even today, when I write fiction, I set like half my shit in one of those two places.
Yeah.
And I'm probably not going to stop, motherfucker. Write what you know. So, yeah, I love those things, but pretty much all of them. But, yeah, it's like when one haunt finds success with something, it just spreads across the nation, almost as a carbon copy of it. And it's so frustrating because, yeah, we need... Like, one thing I'm really happy to see was Dark Woods adding sluicing. Sluicing, for those who don't know, when you pan for gold and gems and shit. I'm not a sluicing fan. I did it once as a kid. I thought it was piss-ass boring. But it's something unique, and it's something unique that applies only to them because of the type of haunt they are. So they have an experience. I can't go to another haunt in the region and get the same experience.
Right.
Or a similar one.
Yeah. And they've actually done some rebranding because they started out as just the haunt, but now they're Dark Woods Adventures because...
Adventure Park, I think, is what they call themselves.
Yeah. Because they've...
Yeah, they really wanted to expand beyond that. That's good.
Exactly.
I applaud that. I'm very happy about that. That is great.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too bad they're in Natchitoches.
Yeah.
All right. Number 8. Oh, I'm doing evens.
Yeah.
More credit for behind-the-scenes workers. I find it kind of interesting that that movies, music, even books to a degree, video games, all have credit for pretty much everyone that contributed to it somewhere.
Right.
Haunted attractions do not. And if you do not have a role that also has you working in the haunt itself or working front of house, people will never know you were there.
Exactly.
Even if you busted your ass as much as any actor to do makeup, or you are a builder, or, you know, you're a designer, or God help you, you know, if you're a ticket taker, security person.
Yeah, I would love to see, like, credits for this season with... this person and this person playing this role. This person did the makeup for these roles with examples and pictures.
And I know the challenge is that characters and roles rotate. I get that. So even if you just wanted to do it, I think it's Ubisoft that does it, where you just list all the names that worked on it and not identify roles or specific jobs. That would at least be something. And that way, you know, people could show their family, show their friends where they're credited on the haunt sign.
Put it on a resume.
Put it on your website.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. They can put it on their resume.
Yeah, they can put it on their resume or in a portfolio saying, hey, look, I did this. And if you want proof that I was there, you can go to the haunt link here and see my name.
Yeah, and that's something I think we're going to do this year. We've not done it yet. But I think what we're going to do this year is I'm going to add a page for 2022 haunt credits.
Yeah.
And it'll list us as designers, owners, whatever. We'll give ourselves fancy titles. We'll figure that out later.
Yeah.
And everyone else who worked with us will get a listing on the credits.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great idea, and I'd like to keep that as a rotating thing. We have the 2022 page, the 2023 page, and on and on and on and on. And because we keep all those stories up.
Yeah, exactly.
We keep all the old stories up, so why can't we keep the old credit pages up? And the thing that I really like about this is it would help any actor that's trying, or anybody who works in the haunt, really, who wants to take their experience and parlay it into either an academic or into a physical, a regular career. So, for example, if they're applying to an art school, they can show as an extracurricular they worked as makeup artist at this haunt for 3 years. Or if they're, you know, trying to get a job as a carpenter or something like that.
Yeah.
Woodworker. They can prove that they were a builder at this haunt for 3 years. That's big deal. And I think I would totally hire the fuck out of a carpenter that worked in a haunt. That shows creativity and resourcefulness.
Yeah, I would love to know how to get in the business of set design.
Oh, me too.
Like, for movies. I would love...
We know someone.
I know, but I would love to do that as my job, because that's my favorite part, or one of my favorite parts of haunting.
I agree.
Just set design.
Yeah. So. All right, moving on.
All right, more bus tours and combos.
Please, 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 please,
Yes, yes.
This... Sugar on top. Cherry.
Yeah, we need to go back to live so that people can see you being adorable.
Dorkable. It's adorkable and you know it.
Yeah. But, yes, this would save Jonathan so many headaches for planning our haunt trips.
And so much beer money for all I have to plan it.
Yeah.
Because usually if I'm sitting there playing a haunt trip, I've got a beer next to me because, dear God, I need the help.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, oh. We loved the Lost Souls bus tour. It was such a wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any haunted attraction experience, like visiting experience, will ever compete with that for me. And the reason is because we didn't have to plan shit.
Mm-hmm.
We just got tickets. We showed up at set time. And we magically appeared at all these haunts and magically went through them. Then we got back on the bus. And then we got beer. And we went to the next one and repeated that process 3 times in a night.
And we ended the night hanging out with wonderful people.
Yeah, both nights. I cannot recommend this enough because it was a wonderful experience. But why should that be such a unique thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to see more trips like that. And if you can't do trips like that, I mean, I get it. It's tricky. It's difficult. Like, and we've thought about what it would take to do it in New Orleans area, and it admittedly probably wouldn't work with the distances.
Mm-hmm. But, like, Atlanta could definitely happen.
Oh, Atlanta, easy.
Easy peasy.
Atlanta could do it easy. I think Houston probably could when we were there. St. Louis, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans, southeast Louisiana, probably not. But yeah, there's a lot of metro areas we've been to that definitely could do this.
Yeah.
But even if you can't do it, have cooperation with other haunts. Like, I know the haunts locally in southeast Louisiana did a haunted house VIP.
Right.
Where you got punches as you went through the various haunts, and they gave you VIP access to the others.
Yeah, upgrade on you when you bought the
exactly.
ticket.
Exactly, an upgrade, yeah. You buy regular, you get upgraded VIP for free.
Exactly.
Which, by the way, I actually realized something the other day. That's a great idea, to do that kind of upsell, at least as a coupon. Because I was trying to figure it out. Why are people not doing VIP? Can we go to, like, creep that fun part in Houston?
Yeah.
Everyone's waiting in 90-minute lines. We pay like $10 more per person,
mm-hmm.
and we just walk right the fuck in everything. We were in and out. We did all the haunts in that park in about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
We tore that house down. Why aren't they doing it? I bet they really don't realize how amazing of an experience it is.
So I think it's that, and I think part of it is that, like, especially at the one you're talking about, there were a lot of kids there. That was their night. They had no reason to rush.
That's true, too. We had three or four of the haunts to go to.
Exactly.
We had all the reason to rush.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I don't know. But still, I do think giving people a little flavor of what VIP is like might convince them to pony up for it later. Because I think a lot of people don't know how great it is because they've never... The first time we went to VIP, it was for free. That was at the mortuary.
Okay.
Ellie donated blood, if I remember correctly.
Yes, yes. Yes, she did.
Happy birthday. Okay, free to us.
Yeah.
Ellie was a pint low going through, but she was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't do that anymore. We can't rely on Ellie to give blood and get her VIP, can we?
We haven't for years.
Oh, she's not allowed to donate blood anymore.
That's true, too.
So, no, we haven't done it in years anyway. But still, that very first time, it's like 8 years ago, 7 years ago or so. That's how we did it. That's one of our first VIP.
Yeah, but one of the other things I'd like to do is you know, cross-training with actors, not only cross-promotions,
but
like regional get-togethers. Like, why is there not a Southeast Louisiana haunted barbecue? I would love that, you know?
Yeah, and that's just it. I mean, haunts working together in a region, this could, like you said, it could lead to actor cooperation, share actor training resources.
Mm-hmm. You could also, you know, make up some fun competition, like games and stuff, to do with these things.
Yeah.
You know, my haunt versus your haunt. So it builds the familial thing, but it also lets you know that we're all cool with each other, too.
Yeah, I also think that, like, cross-promotion between haunts, like, investing. Because, like, I know with marketing, if each haunt has, just to throw this out, $10,000 in a marketing budget, and they combine their pool into $30,000, they'll get a lot more marketing per haunt.
Yeah.
You'll get a lot more per haunt that way. It's just so much better. Anyways, haunt cooperation. I would love to start with haunt tours or passes to multiple haunts in the area. Mm-hmm. Haunts aren't competition to other haunts. You're not competing with a haunt down the road or across town or whatever. You're competing with that concert that's taking place.
Right.
The movie theater that night. Mm-hmm. You're competing with literally every other activity people could be doing than going to haunts.
Yeah.
All right, number 10. More comedy. And I can already hear Davey cringing somewhere on the North Shore, and I'm fine with that, Davey. You cringe away, my friend. It's fine. Because basically, I'm a strong believer, once again, borrowing from Japes, that the goal of haunting is not just to scare, but to entertain. We can't scare everyone.
I even put it in the notes.
Oh, John LaFlamboy. Jesus Christ, you did.
It's okay. You heard it from Japes.
I heard, yeah. Did I mention I've been sick, in my defense? And that I had a really shitty long week?
Yeah.
Both those things are true. Yeah. John LaFlamboy said it. But yeah, the point is, you can't scare anyone, but you can't entertain everyone. And comedy is entertainment galore. And more importantly for me is, like, it breaks that tension. When people have their shields up and they're super tense and anxious, mm-hmm. it gets impossible to scare them.
Yeah.
Give them a laugh. Make them chuckle. They can't help but drop the shields.
Yeah, exactly.
And that sets them up for whatever's next.
Yeah, something, you know, something unexpected. It doesn't even have to be always comedy. It could just be something light and unexpected.
Well, and this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where haunting is all about setting up expectations and yeah. defining them. So if you set up expectation of scare, 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 terror, terror, fear, 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 comedy. What?
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck? Huh?
It's a what the fuck moment.
Yeah, you've broken through the perception, and now they don't know what the fuck's going on. And like I said, you can do it with anything, but I'm a big fan of comedy. Now, I know one of the challenges here is that actors sign up to haunting not because they want to be comedians, mm-hmm. but because they want to scare. But I will guarantee goddamn to you, if you have a large enough staff and you say, hey, I've got this idea for a comedy role, and if it's genuinely funny, mm-hmm. and you pitch it right, at least a few of your actors will step up and take it.
Yeah.
I will guarantee goddamn to you, there are some comedians in your group that would love nothing more than try something different.
Yeah, and you could even have them do gross comedy if you wanted to. I mean, it's still comedy. It's still something other than gotcha.
Yeah. Haunting should not be distract, startle, distract, startle, distract, startle, distract, startle, end of time. Heat, mm-mm. death of the universe.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that. You have to, we talked a lot about how you have to put lulls in there. You have to put spans where little to nothing happens mm-hmm. to let people reset, let people calm down,
right.
let people lower their shields. But one of the ways to help that happen more quickly is to make people laugh.
Yeah.
When people laugh, people aren't scared when they're laughing.
Mm-mm.
I guess you can do a scared laugh, but it's not that easy. But people just basically get a little bit off edge, and that is when they're easiest to get, because now you've subverted their expectations again.
Yeah. My dad, that is his fear reaction.
Yeah, it's a laugh.
It's just a laugh.
Which is such a
belly roll laugh.
Which, I mean, it's kind of funny because we talk a lot about fight or flight.
Uh-huh.
I guess it should be fight, flight, or funny.
Yeah. No. It's just like, don't know what to do. I'm just going to laugh.
Got nothing else.
Yeah. It's either laugh or cry. So.
Anyways. And our final one.
Mm-hmm. The return of the middle tier haunt. We've been talking about this for a while. We just talked about this in 3:35, so right before the news.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we need more middle tier haunts.
Yeah.
We need more affordable professional haunts. There's an intro haunt both for customers and haunters.
Exactly.
I mean, and this goes back to the whole idea of haunters maybe working with one haunt for a while, then moving on to another. This is a place for actors to cut their teeth, get some training in, learn what it takes.
Yeah.
And then if they do want to step up to do a bigger haunt, they can do that. The expectations on them are going to be a lot higher. I get it. There are a lot of reasons that this is difficult.
So it'd be like, what is it, NXT for?
Yeah, NXT for WWE. Or I guess what Ring of Honor is going to be for AEW.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it could be, you could look at it like AAA baseball.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I mean, there's a reason why baseball has the whole farm system.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we need these types of smaller, more affordable haunts, both for customers and for actors and for owners, too, because Most creators, when they make the jump from home to pro, don't just immediately open up the next 13th gate. They don't just up. I mean, 13th gate didn't open up the 13th gate right off the bat.
No.
You know, they didn't go from high school gym to 13th gate. No. They had a stepping stone.
Exactly.
They don't talk about that stepping stone very much these days, but they had a stepping stone. I actually rather liked Louisiana Nightmares for the most part.
Yeah.
Even though I thought it was the drop panel manufacturer for the entire world.
But that was also, you know, our first time encountering drop panels, so
yeah,
it was still new at that point.
It was still new to us, at least. I don't think
not
they were new.
Not by the time we got out. Sorry.
Well, you put 200 of them on your fucking haunt.
That was mean.
Sorry, Dwayne.
Yeah.
But girl, you know it's true.
I don't have quite all of my chill back.
No. Yeah, it's been a rough week. But yeah, I mean, yeah, this is kind of something that's essential to haunted attractions as an industry and as a business. And also something I like. That's kind of my favorite tier of haunting in a lot of ways. I mean, as much as I love my big mega haunts with super budgets and all that, every once in a while I just want to go to something that's a step above a charity haunt, a bare bones charity haunt.
No.
You know what I mean? Anyways, that's the 11 things we thought of. I'm sure there are about another 11 we could easily think of, though.
Yes, and we've already asked it as the question of the week.
What would you change? I'm sure you're going to have some great stuff that we forgot. And we probably will agree with. So let us know. HauntWeekly.com, HauntWeekly on Twitter, HauntWeekly on Facebook, YouTube.com/HauntWeekly. Check us out and leave your comments and answers to the question of the week there. But I think that's all. We need to get this episode up, so we're going to wrap it up here. Until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we will see you all next week, hopefully with a live recording and a guest.